I was a lonely, friendless child with cold, undemonstrative parents. Plain and timid. I made no friends at all at school. My only teenage companions were pets who gave uncomplicated loyalty in return for food. I became a scientist because it seemed to promise distance and objectivity. But then I specialized in zoology. So perhaps at some level I knew even then I couldn't deny all animal connections. But when I began studying apes, first in zoos and then in the field, I never touched them or let them touch me. However close I approached, I would always maintain what I thought was a scientific distance.
Beauty and the Beasts by Mike Harris.
Bill! Bill, you can't just walk into somebody's house.
Get him, he's busy down outside. Anyhow, she said she'd meet me, which is probably why the door won't unlock. Hey, look at this lot, Ricky boy. A bit classier than the usual job, eh?
So how come you got it then,
eh? Out of the blue, actually. Woman with a foreign name. Says she's just come back from abroad. She's got a big house that needs decorating.
She good looking. Big knockers.
She rang, Rick. And what I want to know is...
Shh. Where is she? What's that?
What's what?
That, you clothier, get.
Oh, yeah?
It's coming from behind this door. What the hell is it?
But then there came a time in Africa when, despite all my precious scientific distance, the apes approached me, and I was totally unprepared for it. They came close enough to touch. Close enough to stare deep into my eyes and for me to stare back into theirs. I was alone in the jungle with them, and I was terrified.
Animals?
What?
There's animals in there.
What kind of animals?
Wild animals.
Don't be daft.
Shit, it stopped. Something coming.
Hey, what?
Get out of my way.
Rick, what the hell are you doing? Ah! Oh.
Who are you? What are you doing in my house?
We're the decorators. I think we spoke on the phone. Bill Bradley. Bradley Household Services. And the gentleman behind the sofa there is Rick. Rick, say hello to Miss Lucy.
Lustgarten, Antia Lustgarten. Hiya. Why didn't you ring the doorbell?
We did. But you didn't answer.
Well, I didn't hear. I was working. And if you don't mind, I've got to get back to it.
Miss?
Yes.
You didn't say exactly what you wanted on the phone.
I said I wanted the house decorating.
Well, you didn't specify what kind of wallpaper and the colour of the paint for the doors.
And the skirts.
I don't know. Well, isn't there something you could do without that?
Oh, yes, yes, we could measure up, couldn't we, Ricky?
No problem. Got me 12 inch already.
Good. So I'll get back.
Miss, any chance of a cup of tea?
I'm sorry, I told you I'm busy.
Lustgarten?
Oh, don't start.
Worry not, William. Specs and cardigans do not give me the horn.
Yeah. Let's get on with it.
After that?
Yeah, well, refusing to brew up's pretty bloody weird, I know.
But I mean the noises, Bill.
She's been abroad, hasn't she? You take upstairs while I do
it. What do you mean, being abroad? What do you think those noises were?
Plumbing.
Yeah, and you've got King Kong down your bog as well, have you?
Look, Richard, this is a good job. Something great, empty house. No poxy plumbers or half-pissed plasterers messing up our papering and painting. And a single woman who probably don't know her arse from her elbow, so we can charge what we want, right? My dot's after a new three-piece suite, so take this upstairs and get measuring.
Ignore them, Anthea. Work, okay? Supplement to tapes compiled in the field between the 30th of January 1995 and the 16th of March 1996. I was alone in the bush, surrounded by 20 wild apes. They were so close I could smell their bodies, and I'm sure they could smell my fear.
They reached out, slowly, to my face, with their long arms and powerful fingers. I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. But they didn't hit me or hurt me. Instead, they touched my face gently, delicately, inspecting, stroking, reassuring. And at that moment, for the first time in my life, I felt genuine happiness. And after it, no longer tried to hide behind my wall of scientific distance, I encouraged them to approach. I observed their manners, etiquette, and complex vocabulary of noise and gesture. I ate leaves, scratched myself, made gentle hooting noises, and expressed displeasure with wide, teeth-flashing grins. Thus it was that I made contact across a million years of evolution and began to understand that the social life of these wild animals was more ordered and their behavior to me more considerate than anything I had known in human society. But more than that, I wanted to find out why. If these noble, gentle, plant-eating animals were our ancestors, what on earth had gone wrong with us?
Miss?
I told you not to come in without knocking.
I knock, miss,
this
but...
is my office. You have no right.
Oh, sorry, I'll go.
What do you want?
Well, I've finished measuring my bit, and Rick will be down soon from his, and we could start work tomorrow. If we can get the paper and paint from the shop today...
Yes?
You need to decide what you want. I've got my sample book.
All right, put it on the table.
There you go, miss. I'll be outside when you want me.
No, wait by the door. It won't take a minute.
Right. Very good. I always don't think I'm nosy, but when I was measuring up, we couldn't help hearing, like, unusual noises.
They're tapes of chimpanzees.
Oh, chimpanzees.
I'm a primatologist.
Oh, right. Sorry?
I study apes.
Oh, right. Work at the zoo, do you?
No, in the field.
The jungle?
In Africa, if that's what you mean.
Whereabouts?
If I said the upper Iswangli Delta, would it mean anything to you? This will do.
I've been to many hairdressers and that in the upper Iswangli and...
No shops at all, as a matter of fact.
None?
Nearest village is 20 miles away. I want
I'll bet you this. Get on each other's nerves after a bit, don't you?
Who?
Well, you and your team, like, I mean, Rick gets on my nerves.
Oh, I didn't have a team. I worked alone. I want this wallpaper, Mr. Bradley, okay?
What, for the living room?
Everywhere. Now, is that all you need to know?
Yes.
And if you don't mind, I'll get back to my work.
Yeah.
Bill? Them noises?
What about them?
I could hear them coming up through the ceiling below. I think they're monkeys.
I know. Now, come and see what she wants all over the house.
How do you know?
She chose it from the samples.
No, I mean, how do you know they're monkeys, Bill?
They're tapes. You know, recording tapes. She studies them in the African jungle. Now, give us them measurements, will you?
The jungle?
That's what she says on her own. The measurements, Rick.
William, there is a woman in there listening to tapes of apes.
Yeah, well, Dot listens to tapes of Max Bygraves. Now, give us the frigging measurements.
Look, listen.
Thank you.
Look, she's got weird masks all over the walls upstairs.
35
You know, there's people and animals all mixed up like monsters. Not things with beaks and paws and too many legs and bulging eyes.
I reckon 35 rolls should do it. Now, you signing on tomorrow?
What?
Are you attending the rock and roll tomorrow, Richard?
Yeah. Look, I'm
come here straight after, okay?
She keeps this on a bedside table.
By which I mean keep out of the pub.
Hey, look at it. What do you say it is?
It's a rock, Rick.
And what would you say it is all over it?
A brown mark.
That's blood, Bill.
Bollocks.
William, I saw enough of the sodding stuff up the walls after me mum and dad's Saturday night punch-ups.
Look,
right?
I want to get
off. What's she keeping? A bloodstained
stone. I don't know, and I...
And you're not the least bit friggin' interested, right?
Spot on. Now, can we...
Get measuring, Rick. That's that big, that's that long. Need so much of this, so much of that, so we can cover it all up.
Are you on something?
Yeah, you'd cover eternity in sodding, would you, if you thought God would pay you cash?
You are, aren't you?
But it's all the same to you. Apes, wallpaper, jungle... Polyfiller.
There ain't no jungles anymore. Chopped them all down to build motorways. Now get your kit and let's be off.
You'd love that, wouldn't you? Fernie Inns in Borneo. Spud your lights in, sodding Saddleway.
Rick, I don't know what the friggin' hell you're talking about, but I want to get this wallpaper bought before the shop.
Where the wild things are.
What?
Where the wild things are. Have you read it?
Kid's book.
Weird pictures.
No.
Well, my mum read it to me all the time when I was a kid.
Friggin' fascinating. Now, if
there's jungles in us heads, Bill.
There's a jungle in your head. I'm going. Are you coming or what?
I'm not staying in this place, that's for sure.
Well, come on then, you big wuss.
As the years passed, I grew especially close to two apes. They were allies and comrades. The one I called David was the alpha male in the colony. Jonathan was his loyal subordinate. They would tenderly groom each other and share food. I saw them support each other many times in the face of threats from rival males. They knew each other's place and role in the colony and never quarreled. I wanted to find out more about this relationship, so I began to pay particular attention to them. As a result, when I woke in the mornings, the two apes would be waiting for me on my veranda, bearing gifts of fruit and leaves. They always followed me into the bush, offering protection if I was threatened by chimps from strange colonies. I trusted them, and they trusted me. They were my first real friends.
Up to do, I want to be like you.
Morning, William.
Afternoon, Rick.
Thought you were signing on.
More like on the piece at some poxy club.
Actually, Billy boy, me and Trace stayed in. How are you, son?
Would it make any difference if I said no?
We stayed in and we indulged in some seriously disgusting sex instead. Jesus! Come over here and wrap your eyeballs around this pair of Maloney's.
No thanks. I don't know how these young girls could do it.
Oh, it's just a question of taking off a T-shirt.
Yeah, well, how's about you taking your arse off that sofa and starting on the wall over there?
After I've checked out George and Lynn. We're getting really exciting yesterday. George are out. Gaston was coming down the drive to read the meter and... There you go. Caught with all the kit off again. Uncanny how that always happens, isn't it?
Ricardo.
Right. Work. Where's the filler?
On the table.
What did you and Dot do anyway, eh? Sit side by side all night, wondering at the wit and wisdom of Jim Davidson.
As a matter of fact, Dot went on a night cleaning job, so I went out.
What, down a bucket of sick for 5 pints of farmer's crotch and a jumbo packet of pork scratches?
Fuck, it's a good pub.
Yeah, well, if you're into spending your leisure time with the Alzheimer's Liberation Front.
Landlord knows how to keep his bitter. There's no jukebox and no young people.
Nothing I'd recognise as viable life forms, Bill.
You call what you do entertainment, do you?
I certainly do, William.
Getting rat-arsed on witch piss lager at £3 a pint, then off to a poxy club to pick up little girls.
Only when Tracy's washing her hair. And it's big girls for preference, actually.
How would you know what size they are? Can't see a friggin' thing in them places, can you? Likely as not to wake up next morning cuddling the cleaner's mop.
I think it's better than waking up next morning cuddling the cleaner, eh, Bill?
Hey, I've told you before.
I know.
Don't you ever say anything like that about my daughter again.
I know, it's out of order, okay? I'm sorry.
Ever? Hear me?
Yep. Loud and clear, Bill, all right?
Me and Dot have stuck it out for 30 years. How long do you reckon you and Tracy will last, eh?
Yeah, well, don't give 30-year guarantees, William. On account of not being a damp-proof course. Got the entire cast of frigging PG kits had in her office. Have you seen her this morning?
Only to let me in.
Was she swinging from the light fittings eating a banana?
No, but I asked her for a brew-up again.
Yeah, well, some things are worth fighting for, aren't they, mate, eh? What did she say?
Didn't seem to hear me. Weird, isn't it? Totally weird.
Yeah. Well, let's have some music. Take our minds off the horror of it all, eh? How about a bit of the great old Reginald? Presley? Yeah?
Yes. Slap on that body. Wow, bang. You my hurt, Presley.
They sang and shouted to each other all morning. I couldn't work. I kept expecting one or other of them to come in again and disturb me. But there was something
wow,
as well.
You make my heart sing.
There was something about it, about them. that reminded me of Africa.
You looking for a new flat yet?
No.
How the hell can you live among scum like that?
Rent's cheap. Anyway, some of them are all right.
That you bring in compulsory civilization.
You still in the Labour Party, Bill?
Good. Well, I'd take that idea along to the next meeting if I were you. See if you can get it put up and pass the conference.
It was like the noises in the bush at night. The ones I couldn't make out.
Wow, babe!
Yellow eyes in the dark. Their singing and shouting was horrible and tuneless like apes. Except they said such appalling, unthinkable things. As if snakes and crocodiles, or hyenas, had learnt our language and were suddenly able to tell us what had been on their minds all these millennia.
You know how I'd stop the kind of bloody hooliganism we had in the World Cup?
No, Bill?
I've put machine gun towers all round every square in Marseille or Toulouse or wherever as soon as they try to start. So I'll shoot a frigging lot.
Great idea, Bill.
That stop them.
Certainly would, Bill.
Wouldn't do that again.
Well, they couldn't, could they, Bill?
I don't have hooliganism in places like Iraq.
Why's that, Bill?
Just scared of being tortured.
Of course.
Let our police do a bit of torturing here and there.
I thought they already did.
I understand, yeah, but I mean official life. But if you knew you were going to be tortured every time you nicked a car or verbal an out, you'd soon stop, wouldn't you?
Unless you was a masochist, Bill.
What?
But unless you actually enjoyed being tortured, man.
Give
up. No. Who'd get to be a real problem, that? People nicking cars in order to get tortured. But, of course, their punishment would have to be not being tortured, wouldn't it?
Wow, thanks!
In the rainforest, chimpanzees search in groups for widely scattered berries and leaves, and therefore conflict between dominant males is rare. But when imprisoned in the confined spaces of the classic ape house, like so many flat dwellers in an overcrowded estate, they lie around masturbating, pace up and down till they drop, or bang their heads against the walls of their cage. In these circumstances, violent conflicts about food or females are frequent and usually accompanied by extreme aggression.
Wow, babe!
That is enough.
Now the only way to solve the world's problems?
No, mate, what?
Violence.
Why didn't I guess?
We've got to start sorting out these tapping countries, like we used to.
Well, what if they don't want us to sort them out?
Nuke the bastards.
Right, yeah, well, I'd buy that. Perfectly reasonable in my opinion.
Stop it! Stop it! And turn that noise off! Is that what you really think?
Sorry?
I've been listening to you. I mean, I've got no choice, have I?
Oh, making too much noise, will we? Well, I'm
sorry. I can't think, I can't work, and I simply can't believe that you can think such things.
We're just having a discussion, love, weren't we, Rick? We always discuss when we're working. It helps the time.
All right, okay, just... Can you try, please, just try to be quiet? Also, that radio, please, keep it off. Be quiet. Okay?
Yeah, no bother, love. That's all right, isn't it, Rick?
All right by me.
Thank you.
Who rattled her, boss?
Time of the month, mate. Well, 1 o'clock anyway. Get your pot noodles out.
Tell you what, love.
What?
She's not half as ugly when she's angry. I see Dot packed your usual 3-course heart attack pack.
Seems the same.
Dot?
Yeah. Down with a sore ass one, weren't you, for the one that'd be airline pilots. They're a different species. I mean, we've all got legs and arms and brains and so on. But then some lots of other creatures, haven't they?
Monkeys, for example.
Exactly. Monkeys. Except... I can get my head round a monkey. Give myself a migraine if I ever try to work out what made my dog tick.
She's still going to that, what's it, medium spiritualist woman.
Look at it. Spends more time talking to frigging dead than she does with me. Costs an arm and a leg too. Want some of Doc's chocolate fudge cake?
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know what Tracy said to me last night? After we spent the previous 2 hours shagging ourselves stupid. She says...
We can't go on living like this. So I says,
like what?
And she says, like this. And I says, like frigging what? And she says, like just going out and drinking and enjoying ourselves and having filthy, disgusting sex. Why? I says, because, she says, it's silly and pointless and we should have a baby instead. I mean, can you believe that?
Cool time, Glenn. Diplomats up now, their instincts take over. And they start wanting to have babies instead of fun.
Bill, we've invented computers and electric hair dryers. We're not slaves to those instincts anymore.
That's rich coming from you.
Hey, I choose to indulge my instincts, mate. So I told her. I said, you've got to choose between me, fun and lots of orgasms, or you can have appalling stretch marks and a pile of shitty nappies.
She's probably tasting out Malachair now.
No way, Bill.
Oh, she is. She is.
Will you go now, please?
Sorry?
I want you to finish work for the day.
But it's only 1 o'clock.
I don't care.
Yes, but...
Yes, don't argue with me. I can't stand it anymore. Go, okay?
All right.
Go!
Right. Rick, we'll go, eh?
Yeah, sure, mate.
It'll be all right if we leave the gear.
Yes, right? Just go!
Right. See you tomorrow, eh?
That night I dreamt of Africa. It was a nightmare, without invention or fantasy. I dreamt only of what actually happened in the weeks and months after I befriended the two apes. I experienced again, in dream, the shock of my own realization that I was no longer observing natural ape behavior, but rather the effects upon that behavior of my observing it. I dreamt of the hostility and rivalry I saw steadily growing between the ape I called David and the one I called Jonathan.
Tracy, baby, I'm home! Sorry, it's late. Oh. Shit. Stopped off with Bill for a pint. Turned into half a dozen. See you in the microwave, yeah? Tracy? You in bed already? Tracy, where are you? Tracy, you hiding? She's gone. The bitch has left me. Okay, you! Nobody dumps Rick!
I dreamt of the morning when only the ape I called David stood waiting for me on my veranda. In the dream, as in life, I shout for Jonathan, but he doesn't come. In the dream, I search the forest for endless weeks as hyenas laugh, snakes hiss and slither, and lizards stare with black, blank eyes. In reality, I found him at the end of the first day. Before going to bed, I took a sack of rubbish to empty on the big compost heap I'd made at the rear of my hut. As I turned to go back with the empty, I noticed the base of the heap had been disturbed and something was sticking out. I crouched close to look. It was a finger. A long finger. I dragged aside the rubbish and branches and rotting food, and there he was. Neck broken, skull caved in. And close by on the ground, an old grey stone, covered in blood.
Don't you wake? You warm and fleshy. I went for a few jars with Rick. You know this young woman we're doing this job for? She's about the same age as how Carol would have been if she'd lived. There's a look of her, very blonde, very pale. Dot, turn around and cuddle up, eh? Dot.
I woke
woke up screaming in the dark. I went down to make a drink. To get to the kitchen, I had to cross the room the men had been working in. In the moonlight, I could see their tools and pornographic magazines scattered about the floor like chimp droppings. And it was then that the thought struck me. I had made the study of apes my life's work because I couldn't understand man. I had then left Africa because I no longer understood apes. Now I was scared and alone in a country I'd always hated. I was probably on the edge of a nervous breakdown, but the thought I had seemed terribly logical. As I stood alone in that empty, dark, echoing room, I thought, if I studied these men, it might help me to understand apes.
Strangers in the night.
Shush, shush, shush.
What? Don't want to come in and chuck us off the job again, do we? Get them skirts sanded. Rick, I asked you to start work and you haven't moved, which is normal, but you're not reading the Sun or eating a pie or something, which isn't. Something wrong?
No.
Bollocks. Never known you not give George and Linda once over first thing. What is it, lost a bet? Bad pint? Got yourself a dose? Tracy?
She chucked me.
Tracy gave you the boot?
Yeah, left me a knot.
Told you, didn't I? Give her a choice between you and her natural instinct.
Leave it off, right? I'm caught up.
Bully out of one.
I tell you, I am gutted. I'm a basket case. I don't know what to do.
Are you telling me you were in love with her after everything you've seen?
No. I'm saying nobody's ever finished with me before, and it's done appalling things to my head. I lay awake all last night thinking about death. Woke up this morning, I got up, sat on the side of the bed, and there they were on the carpet.
What were?
Me socks.
What?
Limp. Nothing in them. Everything surrounded by nothing, Bill. You never noticed that?
Of course I have. Of course I have, son. That's just the way it has to be, isn't it?
Why, Bill? Why has it got to be like that?
Of course, you'd keep bumping into frigging things if there were no spaces around them, wouldn't you, you tit? Now get up and get on with the job. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, miss. We were laughing too loud. I'm sorry.
No. I was just wondering.
Yes?
Would you like a cup of tea?
Pardon?
Or would you prefer coffee?
No. Tea. Be lovely.
Milk and sugar?
Yeah, 3 spoons.
Mm-hmm. And Rick?
The same.
Super. Everything okay otherwise?
Yeah, it's grand.
Well, I'll go and make tea.
Yeah, thanks. Rick, why is she suddenly making us cups of tea? Rick, oh, for God's sake, Trace will be back tonight.
Probably fancies you.
What?
You probably give our auntie the hots, man.
Get away.
No, some women, they go for older men.
Don't be dark.
No, straight up. Hey, and you're not that old, are you? Hey?
She's not bad looking, is she? I mean, a bit all right if you look close.
Certainly is, William.
Not that I, you know, I'd take advantage.
Of course not.
But,
Yeah?
Why do you suppose these young women go for older men?
Form of perversion.
Eh?
Well, it's like them masochists I was talking about yesterday. They enjoy pain, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, some women get off on white bandy legs and hairy nostrils.
You're winding me up, aren't you?
Just a bit, William. Stick to Dot. I would. I lay awake all last night thinking about death. Everything's surrounded by nothing, Bill. Ever noticed that?
Are you telling me you were in love with her? After everything you said?
I was successful when studying apes because I learnt to imitate the behaviour they would have expected of another ape. I ate leaves, scratched myself, made gentle hooting noises so they would feel less threatened. And so I slowly gained their confidence.
You see, Auntie, if I try to tell my daughter our little Carol were knocked over 20 years ago and she's not coming back in any form whatsoever, she starts screaming at me.
Oh, dear.
Anyhow, lovely tea. But I'd better get back to work. I reckon Rick's taking one of his extended lunches.
Does she ever get through?
Who?
Your wife, Dot. It's your daughter. At the spiritualist.
Oh. Every week, according to her, she says Carol speaks through the medium.
And? What does she say?
That she's very happy where she is, because they're allowed to stay up watching television as late as they want, and they eat ice cream all the time. And that convinces Doc, because she says she never told the woman that our Carol used to love ice cream. And there's no use telling her that every sodding kid in the world loves ice cream, and when you're dead, you're just frigging dead, and that's it.
Oh, but don't you think that there's something more than this somewhere?
No, this is it, the lot. I want to get in touch with somebody who's kicked the bucket. Got to speak to the maggots.
Aye, aye. What's this then?
Auntie made me some sandwiches.
Very nice. Right, I'm going to start filling this wall off here, okay?
Yeah, great.
Well, I better get back to my chimpanzees, hadn't I?
Yeah, better head or they'll be worrying. Lovely girl.
Oh, yeah?
Where have you been?
Tracy's mum's.
Was she there?
Oh, yeah. She won't let me in.
So?
So I kicked the door in.
You what?
Bitch ran upstairs screaming at me. So I ran after her.
Ricky?
She tried to lock herself in a bog, but I kicked that in too.
What happened then?
I lost me temper. Were they nice?
Well, what nice?
The sandwiches.
Delicious.
Why she keep hanging around us?
Eh?
She's been in and out half a dozen times since this morning.
You can't pull that one on me again.
Yeah, well, no intention, man. Friggin' obvious she couldn't fancy you. She could, however.
What?
Fancy me.
You what? She's got brains. Why should she go for you?
William, it is well known that intellectual-type women go a bomb for the working classes.
Is that right?
Certainly is. Got me leg over a lady philosopher once.
Oh, you bad.
Crossed my heart and hope to die. When I first started work, 16 or something, doing this wallpapering job for her, she invited me upstairs for a little bit of Immanuel Kant under the duvet. Very educational.
So, what if she does fancy you? You don't fancy her, do you?
No, but I'm currently unattached. And unless I get it at least half a dozen times a week, I get pains in my ankles. Anyway, she's interesting, isn't she?
You ill?
Apart from the broken arm.
I've never heard you say a woman was interesting before.
Well, I've never met a woman who spent 10 years living with frigging chimpanzees, have I?
And that'd be the ideal preparation for a night out with you, wouldn't it?
I didn't say anything about asking her out, did I? I just want to get to know her better, that's all.
Yeah.
Talk to her, Bill, you know. It's what men and women do before they get married.
What about?
Usual crap, telly, sex, clothes, and...
All Anthea's interested in is apes.
All right. I'll talk about apes, then.
You don't know anything about apes.
Well, that is where you are wrong, William. I have seen loads of films about apes.
Like what?
King Kong, Planet of the Apes. Every Which Way But Loose, Gorillas in the Mist.
Gorillas in the Mist.
Tracy made me get it out on video. No, it's all about this woman who goes and lives with a load of big sodding monkeys, so Anthea will be well into that. Right.
Where are you going?
I'm returning this cup that the lady forgot.
Rick.
What now?
She's not your type. She's refined and she's got a brain. And she's obviously highly strung.
All she needs is a bit of loving, Bill. Like us all.
Not against the wall of her office at 9:30 on a Thursday morning, she doesn't.
See in 5 minutes.
Oh, four players, well, eh?
They seem to be friends. But what sort of friendship consists almost entirely of insults? They exchanged confidences but gave no support, preferring instead to mock the other's weaknesses. I was frankly puzzled. But I knew I was making progress when Rick approached me.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Rick.
You forgot a cup. Bring it back.
Thank you. It's very kind of you. I put it down on the table over there. Was there something else?
Yeah. I was wondering, like...
Yes.
If you've ever seen King Kong.
It had been a whole year before my chimpanzees stopped running from the sound of my approach. Decorators, it seemed, were much more trusting.
And that was it for you?
Would you believe she's never actually seen King Kong? But she seemed, you know, sort of interested, so I said I'd bring in the video tomorrow. I'll tell you something else, William.
What?
Anthea of the Apes would be a real stunner if she took them specs off, let her hair down and...
What?
Got her kit off.
Rick, I don't
Mustn't rush her. Mustn't rush her. Got to take it easy with a bird like her. Tomorrow.
Why should she keep hanging around us?
Well, if she does fancy you, you don't fancy her, do you?
She's interesting, isn't she? Wouldn't be bad looking if she took them specs off, let her hair down and got her kit off. All she needs is a bit of loving, Bill. Like us all. Tomorrow.
Don't. You sleep. I can't. I've been laying awake worrying about that young woman I told you about who has the look of our Carol. I keep thinking about her all on her own in that big house. That sex maniac Rick setting her up. What do you think I should do, Dot? Dot?
Why did I let it happen? Because I wanted to know what would happen. Oh, but you were causing the events, not studying them. Yes, is that your next question? Of course it is. You're not stupid. But you don't understand. I learned in Africa that there is no such thing as an objective observer. There's no place a scientist can stand where he or she will not be seen or felt by the things she's watching.
Jesse, wake up, you lazy cow. It's only midnight. I know you're up there. Hiding under your bed. I want you back, Jesse, darling. You want to know why? It's because I love you, that's why. I love you. Love you more than anything in the whole world. And if you don't come back to me, right? If you don't come back to me, I will freaking well kill you, you bitch.
The act of observation always changes the subject of observation. In particle physics, in primatology, in everything. And so we should realize as scientists that we can never study the thing itself. All we can ever study is the effects of our studying upon that thing, and that is dangerous. In Africa, I learned that too late to properly control the effects of my work on those two poor apes. So I was now even more determined to get it right in England with these two men. And I never doubted that I would.
Morning, Bill.
What's that?
A videotape, William. I'm through in your office.
Wait.
What?
Well, want a word.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anthea.
Well, what about her?
I think you should leave her alone.
Why?
I don't want to see her hurt.
William, you might think that she looks like your daughter, right? But she isn't. So it's none of your bloody...
Rick, I want you to lay off.
What is this?
She's not your type.
You're jealous.
Now, don't be daft.
You are, you silly old sod. Well, tough crud, mate. This is a young man's game, right? See ya.
24th of March, 9:30 a.m. The young male appears to have nothing but contempt for women, and yet devotes all his spare time to the single-minded pursuit of sexual relations with them. To want what you despise is surely a quality peculiar to humanity. Conclusion? Perhaps this young male homo sapien does not so much despise his women as himself. The older male is even more peculiar. He speaks of his partner with contempt, but defends her in front of the other male and claims to have remained faithful to her for many years. Questions, is the contempt the result of denying for so long his sexual urges for other females? Or is he lying? If so, to whom? To his friend, to his partner, or to himself?
Auntie, are you in there?
Rick.
I brought you the video. I just slot it in your machine.
I'm working, Rick.
Yeah. But if you spend all your time doing that, you turn into a pumpkin, don't you? And away we go. It's King Kong, yeah? Yeah, like I said. Oh, look at that. Some lazy sod's not rewound it.
It's halfway through.
I'll rewind that one, be
no,
sick.
No, wait.
What?
What's happened?
Oh, well, the natives have captured the blonde bird and tied her up between the two stake things outside this bloody great wall they've built around their village. But like I said, you know...
No, please, wait, don't rewind it. What's she afraid of?
Well, she knows that something's in there in the jungle, and it's going to come for her, but she doesn't know what yet.
Incredible!
Oh, I knew you'd like it. Well, the natives are running away now, because they know that Kong's on his way.
Ah, the big ape.
Oh, big isn't the word. He is solid massive, Anthea. You know, and he's like a leading figure in their religion. Imagine a 40-foot pole with fur. Listen to him. See him shut the gates. Look at the size of that ball hand, baby. Sliding it.
I don't believe it. Come.
Here he comes. Here he comes. He's coming. There he is. Come.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, a bit bigger than your average chimp, eh? You've seen the blonde, see? Look at her squirm. Look at him. He fancies her.
He's incredibly sexy.
You think so?
Well, yes. The girl tied up, the enormous size of the ape. And look, those little explorers with their silly little pop guns. It's an amazing metaphor.
Is it?
What happens in the end?
I'll run it on.
Yes, do.
But the explorers, they capture Kong, right, and they take him to New York. And they put him on shore, all chained up in a big theatre in front of all these rich gits and dinner jackets.
Their own nature chained up. Yet they want to forget it, but they can't stop themselves imagining it.
It's only a film, love. Anyway, he goes mad, right? And when he sees a blonde bird again, he escapes. Captures her, and he carries her right to the top of the Empire State Building in his hand. See? What?
The Empire State Building. It's the biggest phallic symbol in the world, then, yeah?
Yeah, if you say so.
And what happens next?
Well, they call in the Air Force. Here they come. All these little biplanes come and shoot at Kong. And he tries to swat them out of the sky, but he can't get them all. And bit by bit, they get him. And he puts the bird safely down before he plummets off. Whee! Splat, the end. Poor Kong.
Technology kills the beast.
No, that's not...
Yeah, those little planes, they were the most advanced technology of their times. It's entirely appropriate that they should be brought in to destroy the thing modern man is most terrified of and cannot conquer.
What's that then, darling?
The beast within.
The what?
His own dark god.
I've lost you completely now, Anne. The last line in the film's got nothing to do with technology. Listen.
It was beauty killed the beast.
Again, listen.
Beauty killed the beast.
See? He fell for the bird and everything went downhill after that. Always does, doesn't it? He stayed away from the skirts, he'd have still been up his tree scratching his fleas and stuffing himself with bananas. On the other hand, think what he'd have missed.
Rick.
Anthea.
What are you doing?
What does it feel like, eh? I like it when you talk dirty, Anthony, you know that.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't get coy with me. I was going to settle for a little chat till you started going on about phallic symbols.
Rick, I don't want you to.
Look, if you
want
to do the old run round the desk, I'm more than happy. Come on, Auntie, babe.
No. Oh.
Now look what you made me do.
A threatened female chimp always looks to another male to take her part.
What?
Bill!
Auntie, don't get me annoyed.
Save me! Bill!
What's going on between you and that old geek?
Save me!
What's going on, Rick?
Yeah, well, that's what I'd like to know, William.
Think you better go and finish off upstairs, don't you? Think you'd better go and finish off upstairs, don't you?
The morning after I'd found Jonathan's body on the garbage heap, David was waiting as usual on my veranda. I sat next to him on a wicker rocking chair. The sun was rising red over the jungle. I allowed him to approach closer. Sensing my grief, he began to stroke my hair and face with his long-fingered delicacy. And that was when I observed that his fur was clotted with blood.
You don't want to take Rick too seriously, love.
No sugar? That's it? Are you all right?
Don't touch me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Look, why don't you sit down? Come on, you're shaking. Sit down. Drink that tea. Rick's all right, really. Not that he had any right back there. He's just a fellow, isn't he?
I hate men.
Well, I can see your point, but there's good and bad.
I've fed animals since I was a child. My parents hated each other. Oh, yeah, they were respectable and cultured on the outside, but once they got each other alone in the house, they shouted and screamed and hit each other, and it was horrible.
Yeah, well, that's marriage, love. You've got to work in a marriage. Till you realise it's a complete sodding waste of time. Because your kids are pissed off and have nothing to say anymore, and all you do is sit in silence while the telly talks. And I've got a good few years left before I go. Working here for you's reminded me of that, ain't you? Here. Let me get a bit closer so you can get it all off your chest to me, eh? Go on, tell your Uncle Bill.
The first time I felt really safe in my life, Bill, was in the bush. With the apes. You see, they were everything people weren't. They were peaceful and gentle and civilized. Then I discovered I was wrong.
I tried to imagine what had happened between Jonathan and David. I had seen fierce confrontations between male apes before, but none resulted in death or even serious physical injury.
Women always liked me when I was younger, Anthea, because I was like gentle and considerate. Dot doesn't understand me anymore, you see. I mean to say, you're safer with an older man, aren't you?
Bill, what are you doing?
Oh, you're cuddling. We're both lonely people, aren't we?
What's going on?
Nothing, mate.
Don't you treat me like a brat, Bill. I saw you.
Saw me what, Rick?
Boring the ableman, you dirty old tosser.
In ape confrontations, the alpha male struts in an exaggerated manner with his fur bristling on end to make him seem bigger. Fooled by this display, the subordinate male generally backs down, making short, panting grunts and offering gifts, which may be a twig or a leaf or...
Here, have a cup of tea and calm down, Rick. She was upset. I gave her a friendly shoulder, that's all.
Yeah, is that all you're planning on giving her? How long has this been going on, eh? Eh? Is that why you gave me upstairs to measure? You wanted me out of the way, did you?
But this was different. This was a horrible murder, but I felt I had to understand it or I'd go insane, so I tried. One, there is a clear link between power and sex in ape colonies. Two, the dominant male feels he needs to have sex far more frequently than anyone else and discourages other males from copulating by screaming and displaying in front of them.
Well, I saw her first, mate. She's mine! Isn't that right, Anthea?
Bill! Keep him away from me!
What's wrong with you, eh? Hey, you prefer that old guy to me? What's he got that I haven't?
Bill, please!
Hear that, Ricky boy? Hear that? Bill, please. She wants me, Rick, not you.
When they quarreled over me, Jonathan and David would have circled each other. Jonathan stamping his feet and displaying an angry grin, David thumping the ground repeatedly with the palm of his hand. If I'd been there, I could have stopped them.
Bill, please!
Just it!
Rick!
Keep out of this!
William? Have I ever told you in all these years just how much you get on my tits?
No, Rick, you haven't.
Well, in my considered opinion, you're a miserable, morning, half-witted, sexually frustrated old tosser.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're a clapped-out old never-was. You're boring and ugly, and your life is completely frigging pointless. You're a totally disastrous 20th century life form. Television mutant. Box goes off at night, and so do you, like a pissing parrot when the sheet's put over its cage.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, Ricky boy.
And do you know what else?
Never what?
You've got a fat, ugly wife.
Hey.
Mitchell and Manning on the deep rock.
I warned you before, Rick.
Darling.
Don't, Rick.
Rat back with a mop and bucket.
Don't get me mad,
nothing
Rick.
Nothing but a big frigging sack of catty old tripe.
Bill, Rick.
What?
She's all right, you see. You see, when the alpha male makes a direct threat, the subordinate male invariably backs off. All his noise and threats just bluff. These confrontations look far more threatening than they really are. Serious violence against male chimpanzees is very rare.
And Thea?
Yes?
There's a flaw in your argument.
Pardon?
We're not monkeys, Auntie Betty.
What?
We are men!
At first they fought with fists and feet like apes, hitting and tearing and clawing at each other's flesh, crashing from room to room, knocking over furniture and fittings, leaving behind a trail of cracked masks, broken spears and shattered totems. They fought with the tools of their trade, hurling paint pots and buckets of paste, beating each other with brush handles and scrapers and rolls of double-thickness super-embossed wallpaper, hurling vacuum flasks full of steaming tea, Tupperware sandwich boxes and empty pot noodle containers. The terrible struggle ebbed and flowed from room to room, upstairs and down. The skill and cunning of age pitted against the strength and energy of youth until, strength and vigor finally telling, Bill ran panting into my bedroom, pursued by Rick, who, faced with an old man wielding a 4-foot-long length of vacuum cleaner tube, reached for the only other weapon available. On my bedside table, an old stone covered in the ape's blood. Bill rushed at Rick with his vacuum cleaner bayonet. Rick smashed at him sideways with the stone, knocked him over, fell to his knees, straddling his head and shoulders, and hit him in the face with the rock.
Oh, Jesus, look at that. Why'd you make me do that, you silly old sod? It was her fault, Bill. Friggin' monkey woman. Why did they make us do these things, Bill?
Well, Rick wept over the bloody corpse of his old friend. I crept out and tiptoed downstairs to the front door. And I found it was locked, with no key to be seen. Then I heard Rick.
Althea! Althea! Where are you, Althea?
I panicked, opened the nearest door, leapt inside it and closed it behind me, which was a mistake. The understairs broom cupboard had only one door, and Rick was now on the other side.
I know you're in the house somewhere, because when I came in this morning, I locked all the doors and I kept the keys. We've got some unfinished business, remember? Anthea? Yoo-hoo! Come out, wherever you are. Hmm? Have you seen Jurassic Park? Probably not. Well, there's this bit where the water in the glass wobbles because the Tyrannosaurus Rex is on his way. Shaboom. Shaboom. Tell you what, I'm knackered. Killing a sexual rival doesn't half take it out on you.
I opened the cupboard door a crack and saw him sit down,
his back to me on the living room sofa and placed the blood-stained stone on the little table to one side.
What are you thinking, Anthea? Wherever you are.
I crept on my hands and knees out of the broom cupboard.
Beauty killed the beast.
I edged closer and closer to the little table at the side of the sofa.
Bollocks to that.
Closer. And closer.
So just as soon as I've got my breath back,
I reached out carefully. So close to him that I could smell the mixture of fear and lust on his sweat.
I'll finish finding you. And I'll do what has to be done.
I gripped a stone. First in one, then in both hands. Got slowly to my feet behind him. Raised the stone high above his head and hesitated. He turned.
Anthea, what the hell do you think you're doing?
We've neither risen nor fallen.
What's that?
Nothing's changed.
Look, love, why don't you just put the stone down?
In a million years, nothing's changed at all!
And that's it. That's what happened.
This is D.I. Fairclough, the time is 7 p.m. This interview is being concluded and I'm switching off the machine.
In Beauty and the Beasts, Stella Gonne played Anthea, Trevor Peacock played Bill, and Darren Tye played Rick. The play was written by Mike Harris and directed by Clive Brill. Beauty and the Beasts is a Watchmaker production.